Had to go quick change there from singing outfit to preaching outfit. So today's message, we are going to be in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is where the message is coming from this morning. And in the book of Hebrews, what we'll find is that the author is writing to the people, the Hebrew people, and telling them to stay the course in their faith. Even in the midst of persecution, what has been happening is the people are being persecuted. And in the persecution, they started reverting back to their old ways of Judaism, trying to abide by the law and to abide by the rules and the regulations set forward, just so they would try to avoid some of the persecution of the government that was after them. But the author is telling them, though, you've got to live by faith. You've got to stay by faith. And then in chapter 11, the author actually brings us through this entire, what we call the hall of faith. And over the past few weeks, well, maybe a month or so, we've been going through this sermon series called Radical Faith. What it means to have radical faith in Jesus Christ, to have radical faith in God. And today's message is entitled, A Cloud of Witnesses. And this is what we find in chapter 11 as we come up there. And we see that in chapter 11, it says that we see the faith of those who came before us. And we see that Abel showed us how to offer a sacrifice. Enoch pleased God and did not see death. Noah believed, and through him the earth lived on. Abraham left his home. He and Sarah had a child way past their prime of having children. And a nation was born. You've got Isaac, Jacob, Esau, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, an unlikely character, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, the other prophets, just to name a few of the Old Testament heroes that have gone before us. Well, verse 13 in chapter 11 says, they all died in the faith, not having received the promise. These are those that have gone before the Hebrew people. In chapter 12, it says, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Jesus, I pray that you just speak the words that we would need to hear this morning. That you just speak through me as only you can, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As I said before, in 1911, Hague Baptist Church became about. A vision was given to some people to be a church here in the community of Hague. God's mission has not changed over those years. God has not changed over the years. We have, as believers today, we are part of this history that we see in the Hebrews. All those new Old Testament saints that have gone before, all the New Testament ones that have come after, every person throughout the ages that has died before us is part of our heritage, part of our history as believers. And when we come to a homecoming service, no more so than we realize that there are those that were here within the walls of this building that are part of that heritage as well. And the building has changed over time. If you come in through this door, you'll come in here, you'll see that there's a little lower section in the back. Actually, from where that lower section is all the way to the front, that was the original church. And you see they've had to expand. They've had to have this building and other rooms built. But the faith, the heritage that has brought us along is still there. And the good news is some of the things I want us to look at from this morning's passage is that the first thing I want us to understand is that we have the testimony or the witnesses of all those that have gone before us. We have their stories. We know what's happened. We read it in Scripture. Some of y'all know it personally from people that you know within the church, maybe family members. And when I think of witnesses, several things come to mind. You think of court and being a witness on the witness stand, right? There was a lawyer and he was questioning a police officer. And the lawyer looked at the police officer and said, the woman shot her husband because he stepped on her freshly mopped floor. Is this correct? The law officer said, yes, that is correct. And the lawyer said, and it took you 20 minutes to arrest her. Why? The officer looked him dead in the face and said, because the floor was still wet. That's one type of witness that we have. We also have those that witness through their testimony and through their faith. As the drought continued for what seemed an eternity, a small community of farmers didn't know what to do. Rain was important to keep the crops healthy, as we know, and sustain the townspeople's way of life. And as it became worse and worse, the local pastor called a prayer meeting and asked for rain. Many people arrived at church to pray for rain. The pastor greeted most of them as they filed in. And he walked to the front of the church to officially begin the meeting and noticed the people were chatting across the aisles, socializing with friends. When he reached the front, his thoughts were on quieting the attendees down and starting the meeting. As he scanned the crowd for a minute and he asked for silence, he noticed this 11-year-old girl just sitting on the front row quietly. Her face was beaming with excitement. Next to her, open and ready for use, was a very colorful and extremely large umbrella. Much bigger than her, in fact. The little girl's beauty and innocence made the pastor smile as he realized how much faith she possessed. See, they came to pray for rain. No one else in the congregation brought an umbrella, but this little girl did. That's a testimony of faith. That's having that faith that leads us forward. We have those that have gone before us. We have those testimonies. You probably have them within your family. I know personally, I have a mother and a father who are a strong testimony of faith. And maybe it's that young girl who was sitting in the Sunday school class one Sunday and the Sunday school teacher looks at her and says, "Caitlin, if you died next week, would you be in heaven with Jesus?" And she looked right back and said, "Yes. Yes, I would. Without a shadow of a doubt, I would be." She had that faith. What the teacher didn't know and the student didn't know at that time, that by that Friday, she would be killed in a car accident. That's a testimony of faith. You have those. I have aunts, uncles, grandmothers. I'm sure you do in your family as well. Sure, we all have the crazy ones we don't want to talk about, right? But we do. We all have those that witness, that testimony that before us. And it's great to remember them. It's great to look back, and it is great to look on at what God has done in the past and lean into that. But one of the purposes of remembering the past, this is number two, is to encourage us to move into the future. If you look at all those technology stuff that we talked about, it began because something else began. All right? The microwave started because the guy was playing with tubes from what you get from TVs. And he got a really big one, and it started popping popcorn. It got so hot. And he's like, "Ooh, this could work." And this is how this stuff happened. See, they took one thing and something built on that past. Those that invent, those that think, those that dream are not content to stay there. They build on it. Again, look at technology. I mean, how long ago was it that you had the old party lines where you had the operator in town, "What connection, please? You know, 342, and she'd pull the thing and plug it in. And you start talking gossip, she could hear every bit of it, right? Maybe you didn't even have a phone. Maybe there was one phone in the neighborhood and you had to walk 6 blocks if you needed to make a phone call. Before that, you had to go to the end of the town to go to the telegraph office, you know, and send out a message that way. And look at phones now. I bet if we ask everybody to lift their phone up right now, we'd have a whole room full of phones. We all have them. Some of us don't know how to use them well, but we got them. But the purpose is the past. The purpose, the reason we look at it, the reason we remember it, is to take us into the future. We learn from our past. I've learned growing up. There's things I know to do, things I know not to do. Some I learned the hard way as a kid. Don't talk back to Mom. How did I learn that? She smacked me. All right, in the name of Jesus. She loved me. You know, but hey, that's just what happened, right? You learn things as you go. That's how we grow. The purpose of remembering the past is to encourage us to move into the future. We're not set. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but God's not stuck in yesterday. God is an active and living God. He's constantly moving, and we need to be as well. So number three, whatever's keeping us from moving forward, we must get rid of it. The scripture says to lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, every hindrance that we have. I don't know what it is. For some, it's tradition. For some, it's something else. It's just a thought process. It's just whatever that encumbrance is, whatever that thing that holds us up from moving forward, we need to get rid of it. Number four, we need to guard against and get free of sin. Sin is a trap that holds us back. We get snared, we get trapped in our sins. We can't move forward. And sometimes our sin, it becomes like quicksand. The more we struggle, the more we fight to get free, the deeper down we go. The only way we can be free of sin is through Jesus Christ. But we have to guard against it. We have to be sure that we are doing the things. We're praying. We're fellowshipping together. We're engaged in community to help protect ourselves against that sin. That sin is going to trap us and keep us and hold us back. You know, we're running a race. It says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why do you need endurance? Because it's a long race. We're running a marathon. This isn't a sprint. Believe it or not, I used to be fast. Because I used to be skinny. Long time ago. I'm trying again. I can button my jacket again. So, see, I'm losing weight. That's good. Those people that are here on a regular basis, they know we've been eating healthy. So, and the first few weeks were rough. But the reality is that I used to be fast, but I was a sprinter. I like to run. I eat fast. 40 yards, 50 yards, whoop, I'm done. All right? 100 yards, maybe. Run the quarter mile. Uh-uh. I didn't like doing the laps around the track. Anybody have that in gym class? Go run laps. Anybody have one of those lazy coaches that didn't want to do anything, so they just say, go run laps. I'll let you know when class is over. Yeah. If you've ever been in the military, have you ever run before? Everywhere you go, right? Yeah, I had one of those long runs. You know, the guy didn't know where he was going, so we wound up doing 20-plus miles instead of two. Long run. I don't like it. But you know what? Our faith, our life, it's a marathon. Lord willing, for most of it's a marathon. All right? There are those that are taken young early in life that their life may have seemed like a sprint, but for most of us, we are in this long haul. And when we talk about moving forward in faith, when we talk about the history of a church, and think about it, we've been here 108 years at Hague. I haven't been there that long. But the church has been here 108 years. Can the church be here 108 years more? As long as Jesus doesn't return? Yes. But we have to remember, it's a marathon. There are things you do within the marathon. You run with endurance. The thing you learn in long races is you don't take off at the great next speed, you know, right off the bat. When you were running those four laps, you know, it never failed, especially if the gym teacher didn't tell you what you were doing. You're like, let's get this over with. Man, you sprinted that first lap. You're like, ah, I run. So keep going. And then you're like, right? You're wore out. I'm tired just talking about running laps. You don't just sprint out of the gate. You run steady. You run with endurance. But you know, running takes training as well. There's this cool app, and we tried it one time, but it lasted about 3 days. But it's called the Couch to 5K, where you take this app, and it tells you to go out and walk for 15 minutes on day one. Day two is walk for 15 minutes, run 1 minute. I can do a minute. And then what happens is, after a while, the idea is the app takes you through this process, and you slowly build up and build up and build up until you can run a 5K. I'd rather do the other way, 5K to couch, but that's just me. But we have to be patient. We have to be steady. We have to be consistent in what we do. And the only way we can do that, the only way we can do that is all of our focus needs to be on Jesus. So keeping our eyes on Jesus. We talked about faith. And how Peter, a couple weeks ago, wanted to get out of the boat. He says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come on. Peter got out of the boat, started walking. And he was doing good until He's like, uh-oh. He started looking at all the things around him, and when he did that, he started to sink. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus. We call it a farm. It's a little farm, but we've got a farm. We've got some acreage, and I now have a tractor because I always wanted one. And I like cutting grass with the tractor. It's fun, you know. But I've noticed one thing. If you've ever been like out in the field, now I'm not like plowing and digging, but if you're out plowing and digging, you've got to focus on something up ahead of you. Because if not, if you're one of those kind of doing around like, you know, this is how crop circles get cut, all right? Because you'll find out real quick that that tractor is not the most steady driving thing, especially in a field because you're bumping along, right? You know, when you think you've got a straight road and you look back and it does this. You know, we do that within our faith. We do that within our Christian walk. We tend to get our eyes off of Jesus. We tend to be looking around at things and get excited. And it's sometimes just good things. We look around and we go, ooh, yeah, the church is growing. Look what God is doing here. Yeah, yeah. And God just went this way. And we're still kind of going. And then we're like, wait, where'd God go? We have to keep our eyes on Jesus the whole time. And if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, then our race becomes straight. That to me was always one of the hardest things with running long distances, is the idea of not knowing where the finish line was because you can't see it right away. And if you've run one of those longer races, as you come around that last corner, you come around that bend, and you see that big banner hanging up there that says finish, what do? With everything you got, you're moving a little faster now, right? You get a little more excited. You pass out when you get through it, if you're me. But you start running faster because you see the finish is up ahead. You've got that focus that's on there. You know, if we let Jesus lead us and we focus on Him, then we'll be able to run steady, straight, and true. That our focus needs to be on Him. Why? One, He's the source of our faith. Without Jesus, we don't have faith. Our faith is nothing. But He's also the perfecter of it. It's through Him, through His name, through following Him, obedience to Him, that our faith becomes strengthened. See, when Jesus tells you to do something and you do it, and you see how God is blessing that and how God is working through it, your faith gets strengthened. You get excited. You begin to see the things up ahead. You know what? He looked beyond what was right in front of him. It says he endured the cross. We sang a song earlier, Oh, the Wonderful Cross. To the people back then, the cross was horrible. It was something to be feared. But it was something our Lord and Savior embraced. Because He knew through embracing that cross, through being nailed to that cross, shedding His blood on that cross, that each one of you could be here today, receive Him, and have life eternally with Him. He knew that by shedding His blood on that cross, that in 1911, a church would be founded named Hague Baptist Church that would continue that ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to think that in that moment, in that time, some 3,000 years ago, that Jesus sat there and in a moment walked to a cross and said, yeah, I'm going to go die for Lee. Bob, Mary, Jim, Dave, I don't know y'all's all names. But that's what he did. He said, yes, I'm going to do that for their sin. We need to keep focused on Him. What does the next few years, what does the next 108 years look like for Hague Baptist Church? I don't know. I believe fully that God is doing something here. And I believe that God will continue to do something here, whether I'm here or not. I believe if you look along the walls, you'll see names of previous pastors. You'll see people that have given. Everyone's played a part. I remember growing up thinking our church was rough on pastors because we were going through them, it seemed like, every couple of years. But as you look back, what you find is that God brings people in at the time to use their gifts and their talents to get you to the next place. You know? And He does that. And there's this kind of ebb and flow in this movement with God within the body of Christ. He's given each of y'all a gift, each of y'all a talent. What does the next years look like? You know? I don't know. But I'm believing God is going to continue to grow Hague Baptist Church. God is going to use this church to make His name known in this community around us. And I am so excited to be part of it. I'm excited for those that are here. And I'm excited for those that God hasn't brought yet, but is. In just a moment, we're going to have the singers come back up and we're going to sing. We're going a little extra long this morning, but it's okay because we don't have to drive to get food. It's always a bonus. They said, you can preach a little longer if you need to. So instead, we sang a little longer. I preached a little shorter. But just a minute, we're going to have the singers come on up. Chet, come on up to the piano. We're going to sing Just As I Am. I think it's 307.